This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
Why?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. I imagine a lot of people are calling their congressional representatives and asking, why is oil $130 a barrel? Why does it cost $60 to fill up my gas tank? So today, a Senate committee will take those questions straight to oil company executives and ask them why. Dan Gretsch reports.
What the senators will get, says Jorge Piñon with the University of Miami, is a shrug.
It is futures market, just like corn, just like wheat, just like orange juice, that sets the price of oil, not international oil companies.
He says private oil companies have direct control of just 10% of the world's reserves. The lion's share is in the hands of governments like Venezuela, Nigeria, and in the Middle East. Piñon says there's only one country in the world right now with control over world oil prices, and it's not the United States.
It is Saudi Arabia, the only country in the world that today has spare production capacity of about 1 million barrels per day.
President Bush recently asked Saudi Arabia to open the valves. The Saudi royal family answered him with a shrug. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
By the way, Honda said today it'll start selling a new hybrid next year. It's supposed to be cheaper than the current group of hybrids, only a couple $1,000s more than a Civic. Oil hitting $130 this morning is keeping Wall Street in check. The Dow is up just 3 points to 13,832. Sorry, 12,000. The NASDAQ has gained 9, and the S&P 500 is up 3. In Asia, the markets finish mostly lower, and European shares are mixed so far. Italy's Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi held his cabinet meeting today in Naples, not in Rome as usual. He's trying to show that he cares about the awful garbage problem in Naples. We've talked about this before with reporter Megan Williams, and she joins us once again. Megan, I have this image of a man in an Armani suit, ankle deep in trash. Is that about right?
Well, I mean, we'll see. I mean, one of the big scandals about Berlusconi going down to Naples is that he's staying in a 5,000 euro suite, which is, you know, about 9,000 US dollars a night. So I don't know how much he's going to be actually walking around the streets. But if he does, I mean, you know, what he's in for is huge colonies of rats and cockroaches and garbage juice. The whole area, it smells terribly. There's 50,000 tons of garbage in the streets in the region, and about almost 4,000 of that in Naples itself.
What is Berlusconi proposing to do about it?
What people are expecting might come out of the meeting is that he will force these local communities in and around Naples to set up the garbage dumps that the government has been trying to get them to accept for a while now, and the incinerators. People have been really resisting that because they've had it up to here with garbage. They say, take it somewhere else. We've been taking the garbage from the north for the past 30 years. We don't want to have garbage dumps, even if they're properly managed. Italy is not a country that lacks either means or know-how. What it is lacking is just accountability. No one can make a decision here on a political level.
Megan, we've talked about this issue before, and last time we mentioned how it might affect the price of mozzarella. How's that going?
Well, mozzarella sales are still down, and I think the mozzarella industry has been working very hard to try and convince people that the pollution levels in the mozzarella caused by the burning fire is low and there's no direct connection. It's very difficult to prove.
All right, Megan Williams in Rome. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
Independent bookstore fans and owners, cover your ears. The Wall Street Journal says Barnes & Noble is looking into buying Borders. The two companies combined would have a third of the market, but I would think that might raise some antitrust flags.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with patient groups, first responders, and physicians to save lives lost from sudden cardiac arrest. On the web at medtronic.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation, online at kauffman.org.
Today, China said the earthquake death toll has now reached 41,000, and it's still growing. To the south, in Myanmar or Burma, 134,000 people are dead or missing because of a cyclone 2 weeks ago. Commentator Will Wilkinson says these aren't just natural disasters, they're also man-made.
The poverty that exposes people to nature's dangers also kills. And that kind of poverty is no inevitability. It requires a human hand. Back in the early 1950s, Burma was the wealthiest nation in Southeast Asia. But today, after half a century of socialism and authoritarian rule, it's one of the poorest countries in the world. When a regime mows down a gathering of political protesters, we sit up and take notice. But when it actively impoverishes its people with economic policies long ago proven harmful, we're too willing to see this not as a choice to which men may be held accountable, but as a natural fact under no one's control. So it wasn't fated that tens of thousands of Burmese would have so little shelter from the storm. They could have been richer, safer. In 1995, an earthquake rocked wealthy Kobe, Japan, ranking as the most expensive natural disaster in history. Yet only 6,400 lives were lost. Compare the Sichuan earthquake. Catastrophe modeling firm AIR estimates total damages will exceed $20 billion, only about one-tenth the economic loss of the Kobe earthquake. But the human toll is over five times greater. China, thankfully, is on its way up the growth path to higher ground. Burma, well, it's a tragic illustration that natural disasters are all disaster and only part natural. Economic growth creates roofs that don't blow away, walls that don't crumble, hospitals to tend the sick, and generators to keep the ventilators on. The self-dealing thugs that botch the institutions of growth don't just keep their people poor. They keep them vulnerable, exposed.
Will Wilkinson is a research fellow at the Cato Institute. You can find a link to his blog on our website, marketplace.org. The most affordable housing market in the country is once again Indianapolis. The National Association of Home Builders said it's the cheapest place to buy a home for the 11th straight quarter. The most expensive major market, once again, Los Angeles. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.